Well, you can all be seated. Who believes God's going to move by His Spirit tonight? Yes, He is. It's just a carryover from last weekend, and no doubt about that. And I think by tomorrow night we'll start to see the place filling up. Because I'm an Australian. Hey, make me feel at home. Everybody go like that. Say, g'day, mate. It sounds weird, Americans saying g'day, mate. I suppose it's like me trying to talk American, isn't it? But it is good. Just stand up. I've got my beautiful wife, Cher, and daughter, Whitney, on the front row there. And we're looking forward to tonight and tomorrow night. And I've been in, a lot of you don't know me, but I've been in full-time ministry for about 28 years. Basically been involved in church planting in my nation and holding revival meetings in various parts of the world. And so I'm used to revival type atmospheres. I love them. And anything could happen. Joy of the Lord breaks out. Power of God breaks out. Repentance, whatever. God can do whatever He likes. And we just want to see God move tonight. And He will. There's no doubt about it. And it'll take you a while. You know, you don't know me. I don't know you. And it takes a while to get used to somebody else's ministry. Am I talking too fast? Can you all understand me? Can I have a few house lights on? I like to eyeball the people, or it seems to be blackness here. Is that possible? Do you have a couple more lights on? I've been visiting America since year 2000, 2001. And holding meetings and crusades and revival meetings from Florida, North Carolina, right up these parts. And about a year ago, in fact, I'm almost a permanent resident now. I'll get my green card soon. So I'm one of you. So that's, we just feel a strong call in our lives just to bring revival. But what is revival? Look, it's just falling in love with Jesus all over again. It's your first love, even becoming your first love again. It's throwing programs out of the window and not just having long meetings or any length of meeting for the sake of it, but just letting God be God and forgetting about everything else, but pressing in and getting a touch from God. And I'm convinced the level of the power and the glory of God that will be here tonight will depend on how much you and I will open up to it. It's it. God always wants to bring revival. People say, how do you get into revival? When you get a hungry people. And that's why sometimes revivals have got to be extended meetings, because it takes time to build up. From my experience, revivals, you're not going to get a revival happening in a city unless you're going to go 10, 20, 30 days and see what happens then. And then it might break out into all the churches in the region then. But it takes time. Why? Because the hunger grows, the glory of God grows, and the power of God grows. And it is a sacrifice. You can't probably live in revival meetings all year round. You got to have some sort of a life, but it's good in seasons like this where we just have meetings and we keep hitting it and hitting it, and eventually what starts to happen, a lot of people get saved, a lot of marriages get restored, people's lives get blessed, bodies get healed, and it seems to happen on a regular basis, and people come from all over the place, and I've always planted churches in Australia that have ended up in revival, well, three of them did, where it caught the attention of Australia. You might think of Australia as a little country, but actually it's the same size as your United States, except you've got 300-odd million and we've got 23 million. So, but it's a big place. And, you know, I've always planted churches and taught people we're the priesthood of believers. We want to see people healed and saved and set free and baptized in the Holy Ghost and baptized in water in public meetings, but we teach you how to do it. By getting people baptized in your bathtubs, you getting them filled with the Holy Ghost, you getting them saved, you get out there and do it. So, and that's the way it is. I mean, at the church, we'd always grow 15 to 20 people just on new converts, then probably another 15 to 20 on top of that, with Christians coming in, joining from around the place. And before long, you'd hire a hall and you'd just put an ad in the paper, wondering who was going to come in, maybe the local person across the road with his dog and cat, and... In fact, one of the first altar calls I made in a church that hit revival, this is the truth. I was just telling the small group that was there, because it was only the second week, you know, if you don't respond to God, I said, well, God will bring a dog in here and he'll come to the front and get saved. And as I said that, this is no joke, a dog came down the aisle and knelt at the front. And they thought it was a setup, you see. I said, the dog just happened to come in off the street through the door down the front. I thought, that's ridiculous. Don't worry, I didn't lead it to Jesus. But I was thinking it would be funny to get him filled with the Holy Ghost. But we didn't. And seen some funny, unusual things, but that was nothing to do with revival. Yeah, you probably thought I was going to say, then we got a whole lot of dogs and cats saved. Yeah, the dog went out and bought himself a white suit, and before long we had the whole city saved. But you know, and it's just meetings like this. That's all we did, just to get on the piano, and God always blesses with a worship band very quickly. And it would just grow and grow and grow. One of the churches was the fastest growing Pentecostal church in Australia. Just grew from nothing to 500 in a year. Now, that's very quick growth, especially in the 80s. But it was revival. Pastors would fly in from all over Australia and New Zealand to have a look at what God was doing. And the one that was most amazed by it all was me. And but it was there. And I was traveling 2 weeks of the month, and I remember I used to go away and preach in other places at a pastor's conference or something. I'd come home and be greeted at the door by people in my church that I didn't even know. And they'd say, hello, is this your first time here, sir? I'd say, no, I've been here before. And then they'd be all embarrassed and they found out I was the pastor of the place. But I thought it was great. They'd gotten saved while I was away. And they were such hospitable, nice people, they decided to put them on the door, you know, to welcome people in. So that was in 2 weeks. I think one time I went away on a trip, came home, and the church had grown 50 people, just like that. And not only that, we also noticed the police loved us because the crime rate dropped right down in the city. And one of the main TV channels, Australia-wide, came and interviewed us. They wanted to interview me, and I said, no, I said, I'm not doing the work. The guys are out there on the streets. They need to be, they're the ones that need to do this. Just because I was the pastor didn't mean I had the whole thing. No, those people putting in the hard work, they're the ones ministering to all the druggos and helping people. So let them get the attention. We saw that. We saw it happen 3 or 4 times in Australia in various parts of the country where revival. So I'm very interested in revival. And I thank God that he taught me how to bring revival into a local church. It's easier to get a revival happening where you just got 90% visitors, like a Lakeland revival outpouring or something like that. That's wonderful. We need them from time to time. But generally speaking, when that revival stops, not many churches are impacted by it. For example, the church that hosted that revival to start with, it's back just to normal size again. When they were having to knock down buildings and walls and to accommodate all the people that were coming in. When the revival stopped, their church... But you see, it doesn't have to be that way. You can have a strong revival in this church, but still have a strong local church. And that doesn't mean you have to have meetings every night of the week, but you need to have extra ones where you just pump on that power of revival. And it's amazing what happens. Keeps the love and unity in the place. And of course, you know that Vaughan, Pastor Vaughan here, is in India, and he seems to be having a good time. And although he doesn't communicate that much, it's hard in countries like that. But no doubt he'll be... slaying him in the aisles and having a real great old time. And so keep him in prayer. He's back next Saturday, is he? Next Friday. So that'll be good. I hardly know the guy and I miss him. And but it's good. It's good you're here tonight. Turn to the person next to you and say, pretty good seeing you here tonight. That's good. Well, before we get into the Word of God, I'm just going to... we're going to receive a love offering for our ministry. And I just want to just look at a scripture here just for about 5 to 10 minutes. I don't give long offering teaching, so you can all be thankful for that. Not that I'm against that. Roy and Rodney, Bad Brown, they're going forever. But that's them. They get away with it, and their hearts, they're in it. You know, they don't do it to get more money out of people. They've just got this anointing for that. But I haven't. If I went on for an hour, I think you'd all walk out and I'd be talking to myself. Getting into my own pocket, thinking, yeah, well, here, Steve, have that. But anyway, in 2 Kings chapter 4, if you've got your Bibles, you can turn to it if you haven't. Well, that's all right. Just listen. We can't get any lights just here, can we? Is that impossible? That's all right. I'm an old man, you see. I can't read this. Yeah, that's better. I'll just turn and face you guys. That's better. That got a bit ridiculous. All right, in 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 1, it says, "The wife of a man from the company of the prophets cried out to Elisha, 'Your servant, my husband, is dead. And you know that he revered the Lord, he feared the Lord.'" Thank you. "But now his creditor is coming to take my two boys as his slaves." So this lady's in a bit of a predicament. But she's going to this prophet Elisha, who was known as a man of revival and the power of God, a great prophet of God, did actually double the miracles that his predecessor Elijah did before he was taken to heaven. And this woman's saying to him, "Look, you know, your servant, my husband's died, you know, and the creditors are now coming, and they want everything because obviously you must have been in a bit of debt." So she's crying out to the prophet, asking him for see if he could get advice from God. And anyway, Elisha replied to her, "How can I help you? Tell me, what do you have in your house?" "Your servant has nothing there at all," she said, "except a little oil." And Elisha said, "Go around and ask all your neighbors for empty jars. Don't ask for just a few. Then go inside and shut the door behind you and your sons. Pour oil into all the jars, and as each is filled, put to one side." She left him and afterwards shut the door behind her and her sons. They brought the jars to her, and she kept pouring. And when all the jars were full, she said to her son, "Bring me another one." But he replied, "There is not a jar left." Then the oil stopped flowing. You know, whenever oil is mentioned in the Bible, it's talking about the oil of the Holy Spirit, the anointing of the Holy Spirit, the presence of God. And it's interesting how when she came to Elisha with a problem, it was really a money problem. She was in debt. You know, she had two guys, they were coming to take her house, or the creditors were coming to take the two boys, beg your pardon. Not coming to take her possessions, but the thing she loved the most, her children. They're going to be sold as slaves as a payback. And so she came to the prophet and said, "Well, how do I get out of this?" And, you know, in our society, thank God if you are in debt, they don't come and take your children off you to make you pay them back. I mean, in some cultures they do, actually, but not in our culture, thank God. But, you know, we don't give a show of hands, but there will be people in here in debt. Obviously, I wouldn't have to have a prophecy to know that. It's just the way society is. And so when you're in debt, you know, how do we get out of it as Christians? Because we're not governed by the world economy. That doesn't mean we kiss our brains goodbye. We've still got to be good stewards with what God gives us. But still, we're not under this world system. That's why Isaac could plant a crop in a time of famine, and it grew 100-fold, not 100%, 100-fold, when every other farmer was having to close shop because of the famine. You see, it doesn't matter, the church, even if the economy goes down in America or Australia or any other country, it makes no difference at all. If we are living by kingdom principles, then God will take care of us supernaturally. It will just be there. There's no doubt about that. When other people are in famine, we'll be in abundance. Not with an attitude of, "Oh, we're better than you." No, but inspiring them to come to Christ. That's what he does, that he looks after his own. There's still certain things we've got to do, because a lot of Christians say they're in prosperity, but they're really in debt up to their neck. And they're really, each end of the month, they're treading with their head above water, and they're just about to sink, and, "Man, another $20 comes in so they can add it to the electricity bill. And, oh, just got my gas money." And people live like that, where the Bible talks about we're supposed to be living in abundance. So there's no problem on God's side. We all know he owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. He owns the wealth in every mine. The earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof. So he's not the problem. He can get any resources to us. So there's a breakdown somewhere. And it's not necessarily because we're living in sin. Sometimes it's because we're just not obeying and living by the principles of God's word. That's about all it is. And so if you're in debt tonight, how do we get out of this? Well, it says, you know, what have you got in your house? Usually God comes to us and we've got to have an act of obedience. And we're in a monetary system today, so he usually deals with money. In those days, they weren't in a monetary system. So we said, "Well, go, a seemingly strange request, go to all your neighbors, get all the jars." These jars are about this big, actually, from here to there. "Get these jars, fill them with oil." Now, she only had a little bit of oil, but as she poured that little bit of oil, according to the word of the prophet, the jars would fill up and overflow. And the problem wasn't the oil running out. The problem was they had no more jars to fill. Then they all stopped. And that's what the oil of joy, and that's what the oil of God, given it shall be given back to you. What does the Bible say? Pressed down, shaken together, and running over. So when we're in debt, the answer is not giving every cent that you've got in your pocket to our ministry tonight. The answer is simply asking God, saying, Holy Spirit, what would you have me to give tonight? Not basing it on whether you've got a few bucks or 100 bucks in your pocket. What do you want me to give, Lord? And the Bible says, my sheep know my voice, therefore we hear him. And he usually speaks by an impression. And that's all I'm asking you to do. Even if you don't give nothing tonight, we'll still minister to you and I won't know whether you give or not. But the thing is, friends, it'll bless you. And if you want to get yourself out of debt, how you do it is, and I know this over 28 years of serving God, you've got to give yourself out of debt. It doesn't mean that you kiss your brains goodbye, as I said earlier. You've still got to be good stewards with what he gives you. But it's an amazing thing you give yourself out of it. And that's what I'm encouraging you to do tonight. But on top of all that, I'm saying, why don't you in a few minutes' time just ask God, say, God, what you have is to give to the ministry. You know, you don't know me very much, but I'm sure, you know, number one, Vaughan and Wendy wouldn't have me here if I didn't have credibility in ministry, and neither would Roy have given me such high recommendations in continuing on this revival here. And, you know, so it's not that I'm blowing my own trumpet, but I have seen tens of thousands of people come to Jesus. I've seen hundreds of thousands of people touched in the power of God, whether it's been the joy of the Lord, or I've seen the glory of God come in meetings, and I'm just all about Jesus. I just want him. Our job is to make him look so good, and it's not about preaching for a better offering or a bigger offering. It's about just believing in the gifts that God places in your midst. That's all it is. And we're a ministry. We just live by faith. We don't have a business. I'd like to. But, you know, we don't have any other means of support but what the faithfulness of God's people. And he never lets us down. Sometimes you go to a place, you think, yeah, stingy bunch they are. That wasn't very good. But you don't say that to the people, of course, but you just think, God. But then you go to the next place and get an overabundance, and it all makes up for it. We just got to keep our eyes on Jesus. That's all it's about. So if you want to just pour into our ministry and help us get to the next place, the next place, the next place, well, great. If you don't, we'll love you anyway. How's that? Turn to the person next to you and say, that's pretty fair. It's better than the poke in the eye with a stick. I don't know if they say these sayings over here. So you're keeping up with the Australianism all right? I'm really a Russian. I'm just putting on an Aussie accent. You two are Irish, aren't you? It's not a word of knowledge. You told me last week. Yeah, the top of the morning and the bottom of the world to you. How you doing? Oh, yeah, if you're going to write out checks, just write them out to the Vineyard Church. That they'll just take care of that before we go. So that'll be easier. And that's where, yeah, that'd be the best thing to do. Just do that way, and that'll be great. And why don't we just close our eyes and pray for a minute, eh? Father, we absolutely thank you for your love. We thank you, Lord Jesus Christ, for the way you just provide for us and look after us. And I honestly ask you, God, I pray with all my heart that you'll just bless these people. No doubt they've already got the blessing of God on them, but I pray you'd open up new opportunities. I pray, Lord Jesus Christ, the power of God would come on them more just by, because really when we're giving to your servants, Lord, we're really giving to you. That's what it's really all about. And we do it with cheerfulness and joy in our hearts, with faith in our heart, knowing that when it comes our way, it'll be used for your kingdom, God, because we're all about your kingdom. But you know, but I just pray you'd meet these wonderful people's needs because of their support. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Well, bless you as you take out that offering. I might just play a song on the piano again.
Moses stood on a mountain, waiting for you to pass by. Put your hand over his face, so in your presence you wouldn't die. all Israel saw your glory, and it shines down through the age. Now you've called us to boldly seek your face. David knew there was something more than the ark of your presence. In a manger, a baby was born among kings and peasants. All Israel saw your glory, and it shines down through the age. Now you've called us to boldly seek your face. This holy place, show me your face, Lord, your power and your grace. I will make it to the end like you just see. You just see before you. Yes, I'll make it to the end like you just see before you.
Yeah, he's a good God. Right, if you have your Bibles, just turn there to Mark chapter 5. Just want to speak for a little while to build up your faith. We know that the Bible tells us that without faith, it's impossible to please God. But you know, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And so it's through the foolishness of preaching that men are saved, where they're built up, where they're healed, and that men means men and women. And I just want to talk tonight about keys to producing an atmosphere of faith, because revival's all about faith. You know, it's not about just emotional meetings, it's faith. And the thing, when we see Roy lead worship, I mean, he can sing the same songs every night, but it's like fresh and new to him, because he's singing it with faith in He didn't give a rat's what anybody else was thinking. He just is worshiping God, and we're just joining him. That's what makes him, I believe, one of the best psalmists I've seen around in the world today, actually. And you know, and so we need to understand that there are keys that produce this atmosphere of faith, which helps us to build strong lives, strong churches, strong moves of God. And here in verse 21 of Mark chapter 5, it says, "When Jesus again had crossed over by a boat to the other side of the lake, a large crowd gathered around him while he was by the lake." Typical of Jesus, hey. Everywhere he went, people say, well, God's not into numbers. Well, if God wasn't into numbers, why did he write a book called Numbers? God wasn't into numbers. Why were everywhere Jesus went, large crowds gathered? If he was staying at somebody's house and someone got healed, by sunset, there'd be a large crowd, multitudes of people, all lined up, all bunched in around the house. Wherever he went, that's why he had to go to remote places, just to get a bit of rest and that prayer with his Father, his Heavenly Father, just to have a bit of peace of mind, because he was so always ministering to the crowds. Then one of the synagogue rulers named Jairus, how do you say it over here, Americans? Jairus. Well, it's Jairus, all right, mate? Jairus, is that how you say it? Jairus. Oh, well, the synagogue ruler's name was Jairus. Came there and seeing Jesus, how do you say Jesus? All right, we say something the same. And he fell at his feet. I'm only having a joke with you. And he fell at his feet and pleaded earnestly with him. "My little daughter is dying. Please come and put your hands on her so that she will be healed and live." So Jesus went with him. Now listen, we want to let's look at this man, Jairus' life, because this is a man who really triggered his faith that caused Jesus to want to be with him and to heal his daughter, because God responds to faith. He has a lot of compassion for people, but he responds to faith. Now, the first thing we've got to deal with, friends, if we're going to receive from God tonight, if you're sick in your body tonight, well, you've got to have desperation in your heart that you want God to heal you. Forget about the last person who prayed for you, whether it was last week or last year. Forget about all that. You've got to see it as this is your night. Forget about the medication you can take after the meeting. And by that, I'm not saying throw it away. Don't throw away your medication, because I see hundreds of people over the years healed with diabetes, and then they keep on taking their medication and they're healed, so they start reacting and vomiting all over the place. They go to the doctors and say, well, you're taking insulin, well, you don't need it. Your body's rectified itself. So you don't need to come off your medication. You're healed, your body will react to the medication, simple as that. And you get the authorities, those in authority so that's why I think is the best way to do it. But he had to deal with some things here. And we've got to deal with some things if we want to get healed, or if we want to be filled with joy, or if we're needing a breakthrough in our life. There's got to be certain things that has to be the posture, the right posture is the best way to put it. There is a posture to faith. You see, if you go to the army, how many of you know you are soon going to get the right posture in your physical body and in your mind and emotions? And if you don't like it, they'll knock it into you. Nothing you can do about it. That's just the way it is. You've got bad attitudes, it'll soon get knocked out of you in the army. Well, there's a certain posture that army people have. The way they walk with a straight back. Got great physiques like me, you know. Or if you want to be, a bodybuilder, if you want to be fit, you've got to get the right posture in your body. You've got to go to the gymnasium. You've got to eat the right stuff. You've got to feed your body right. You've got to do the right exercises. And so, but there's also a posture to faith. And the right posture to faith, that means being in the right attitude, being in the right frame of thinking to receive something from God. The first thing is you've got to deal with tradition. What the heck does that mean? Well, listen, I'm glad you asked. We've got to deal with tradition. See, in verse 22, it's really, this man, you see, is a ruler. He is a leader. He is a role model in his society. He was respected. Where do you find all this from? Well, you just have to study Jewish history, because it says he was a synagogue ruler. So he would have been a ruler, a leader, a role model. He was respected and honored because of his position in society. He was somebody you took notice of. It'd be like if the president suddenly walked in here tonight, you know, you'd
take, you'd notice it straight away, you know. And it doesn't matter what your political beliefs are, and who's, whether you're liberal or democratic or whatever you call yourselves over here, Republicans, you're a peasant, you, he's noticeable, bang. Or some high official or some famous sports star or film star suddenly walked in this meeting. We'd all look and take notice and think, yeah, I know that person by newspaper or by television. So this man was a ruler because of his position. And here we see that the second thing that he was really dealing with, because if you look at verse 23, it says, and he pleaded earnestly with him, my little daughter is dying, which means she was incredibly ill, on the verge of death. So the second thing he had to deal with was the fear of loss. That's why he desperately came to Jesus. Why? Because he could have lost his daughter. Now listen, friends, when you deal with tradition in your life, what does that mean? You've got to throw respectability and dignity out of the window if you want to receive something from God. Because God might tell somebody here tonight, your feet get on fire and says, run around this building. Or get up on the seats and jump up and down and scream your head off and praise God. He might tell somebody here a spirit of joy comes on, you laugh out loud. Now to some of us who are used to obeying the Spirit, that's nothing. But if we're bound in tradition, the first thing we think of is, what will people think? Or what happens if I answer that altar call? Because I notice a part of that altar call, it had, if people suffer with pornography or this, that, and the other. I don't suffer from that. And if I come down the front, people will think, maybe I. We're always worried about what people think, instead of responding to God and receiving from Him. And that's what God has to come with, the Holy Ghost draino in revival, and relieve a lot of Christians from spiritual constipation. Because we get so full up with the flesh, we get so full up with pride, that God's wanting to move, and He's moving all around us, but that's just it. He's moving around us and hitting the person next to us. What's the difference between you and that person who's getting touched and you're not? They're open and you're not. Amen. That's the only reason. God is no respecter of people. He will not bypass you if you're doing the right thing by Him. It's as simple as that. So we've got to understand these truths. We've got to understand this is how Jesus moves. And we've got to understand that He's wanting to bring everybody out, friends, and He wants you to leave this place tonight healed and blessed and filled with joy. That's just the way He works. You got the right posture of faith then, but you got to deal with tradition. How do I deal with it? Well, in your heart right now, saying, God, if I'm more worried about my being respectable, if I'm more worried about, well, I'm a leader, I'm a role model, I don't care, I've got a need in my life, I want to bring that to Jesus and be free from this thing, or receive the joy, whatever you're believing for tonight, whatever you're needing. But he also had to deal with the fear of loss. He could have lost his daughter. Now, having said that, friends, he also could have lost his position in the community. Why? Through breaking tradition. You see, they were into dignity and respectability. And he was a synagogue ruler. You don't just throw yourself on your knees before somebody who's a rabbi, as in Jesus, and say, my daughter's dying, please help. Because you've just lost face with the community. He didn't do those things. He could have potentially have lost his position because he would have lost the respect of the people because of the way they were wired in those days. And so he had but interestingly enough, he didn't care about any of that. All he cared about was his little daughter was on the verge of dying. And he knew Jesus was the Son of God. And he could have healed her. And he wanted his attention. So his job, his position, his everything went out the window. All he wanted was Jesus. All he wanted was his daughter to be healed. That's what we've got to have. Amen. Catherine Kuhlman, the great revivalist and healing evangelist in the 50s, 60s, and 70s, she used to say, you'll get healed, you'll get what you've come after in the meeting when you get absolutely desperate and mad at the devil. Amen. When you get mad at the devil and desperate for whatever you're asking God for, that's when you'll get it. And too many people give up on the brink of a miracle. But anyway, this is where this man's at. Now, in verse 24, it says, and a large crowd followed and pressed around him. Obviously, pressing around Jesus, but Jairus has got the attention of Jesus, and Jesus now is on his way to pray for Jairus' daughter. But something happens. The crowd's pressing in on him, and he has to deal with overcome a third thing, and that is dealing with the crowd. Imagine how Jairus felt. Imagine if it was your kid that was dying, only had a few hours to live. maybe less. It'd be pretty heartbreaking when you've got the master, the person who can heal her, but he seems to be distracted with the crowd. Don't let any obstacle take away your posture of faith. Jairus did not let his posture of faith be taken away from him. He did not start yelling at Jesus. He didn't start saying, hurry up, will you? And then, to top it all off, what happens then is a woman who was there, who was subject to a bleeding for 12 years, she had tremendous suffering. So all of a sudden, now Jesus has stopped moving towards his house, and this woman has got his attention because, remember, she said, if I can only touch the hem of his garment, I'll be made whole. And she did it instantly. And so he stops because he knows power's gone out of him. He said, who touched me? Pretty silly question, I suppose, really. Yeah, the crowd's all around him. Judas probably would have thought, because he's the treasurer, hey, if you still got your wallet, someone might have nicked your wallet, you know. Thomas could have been there saying, well, I doubt this is really happening, you know. And, you know, you just don't know. They were just normal guys. But the point is that Jairus was there. And he, his heart wasn't for himself. His heart was for his daughter, who could be dead for all he knows. And Jesus, wow, I finally got his attention. He's coming with me. And now he stops because someone's touched him. Of course someone's touching you. Whole jolly crowd's touching you. The Bible doesn't say what he was thinking, but I guess that's the way we'd be thinking. But he still didn't rebuke Jesus or tell him off. Now, something very interesting happens here. Obviously, this woman gets healed. Now, this could have taken up to half an hour. We don't know. We read it as if it all happened in 3 minutes. But he could have talked with a woman for a while. He could have, you just don't know how long it took. But all we know is that Jairus is pretty desperate here. But it's interesting that he's having to deal with all this. But the reality is, firstly, to come into that atmosphere of faith, to have that right posture, to move in faith, you've got to deal with tradition. Curse that demon of respectability and dignity and get all that you're going to get from God. Even if you look like a goose, it doesn't matter. As long as you receive it from him. You've got to deal with your tradition. You've got to deal with the fear of loss. You've got to deal with the crowd, opinions of people. That's what that means. Who cares what they think? But also, in Jairus' life, he had a decision to make. He had to put somebody else first. He could have stood there, and if he had said it, I'm sure Jesus would have, the Bible would have said it in that story. But he had to put this woman first. He's got a desperate need. His daughter's dying. This woman touches Jesus, and he lets Jesus minister, obviously. He puts her first. And I'll tell you something, friends. You wouldn't believe how much jealousy I've seen in the body of Christ when somebody has been backslidden for a while and comes back and gets full on for God. And they all get jealous because they're instantly promoted by God in the local church, and they're back in the ministry they had, even with more power and fire. And all the people are worried about all around them is they're jealous that we serve faithfully. Why should they get it all back? Well, suck it up. That's just the way God is. First shall be last, the last shall be first. Well, you get some people who get jealous because they've been believing God to get healed, and somebody else who they know their life's not right, they get healed in a healing crusade. What's wrong with me? One of the quickest ways to get our own healing, to break through in our own life, is to rejoice when someone sitting near us is obviously getting their release, is getting their thing from the Holy Ghost. When you put somebody else first, it's amazing how God takes notice of you and I. It's amazing. And then he also had to overcome doubt and unbelief, because in verse 35, when Jesus finished with this healing this woman and speaking with her, it says in verse 35, while Jesus was still speaking, some men came from the house of Jairus, the synagogue ruler. Your daughter is dead. Why bother the teacher anymore? That'd be a pretty heartbreaking thing, wouldn't it? Then you'd be thinking, well, maybe I should have forced Jesus not to minister to this woman. After all, he was coming to my house to heal my daughter. But ignoring what they said, Jesus told the synagogue ruler, don't be afraid, just believe. Didn't bother Jesus at all. And it obviously was worrying Jairus. If you just heard your child had died, you'd be thinking immediately, well, it's too late now. But Jesus just wanted this man to totally trust him. He said, hey, just believe, it's going to be okay. And when Jesus says that, and what does Jesus say? I'll never leave you or forsake you. It's never too late. Just put your trust in him. Just put your faith out one more time to him. Believe for that healing. Believe for that deliverance.
believe for that miracle, and it'll happen. According to your faith, it will. There's an anointing here tonight for this. And so, you know, he's having to overcome this doubt and unbelief, but he believes the word of Jesus and keeps himself calm. But then he's got this battle against his emotions. Because in verse 36, he's ignoring what they said. Jesus said, don't be afraid, just believe. He did not let anyone follow him except Peter, James, and John. They seem to be his close bodyguards, or the disciples that he was really training up out of the 12. When they came to the home of the synagogue ruler, Jesus saw a commotion with people crying and wailing loudly. Why is all this commotion and wailing? The child is not dead, but asleep. But they laughed at him. And so now, he's having a battle against the emotions. His own family are wailing, they're mourning, because their niece, their grandchild, their cousin, whatever, has just, their sister, their brother, has just died. And so they're all wailing. They're all being emotional, because this little child's life, as they thought, was cut short. And Jesus comes in and says, the child's not dead, but asleep. Now that's where faith comes in. She was dead. And they started mocking him and laughing at him. Did Jesus get intimidated by that? No, what does he do? They laughed at him, and he says, and after he put them all out, he took the child's father and mother and disciples who were with him. He didn't allow anyone who had unbelief around him. He thought, you can mock all you like, get out. See, Jesus is gentle, loving, and meek and mild, but he's also a man's man in the sense of he won't pussyfoot around. He called Peter, his faithful disciple, get behind me, Satan. At one time, Jesus once walked into a temple that was supposed to be a house of prayer to the nations and made a cat of nine tails and whipped them all out. He would have cut a few up, don't you worry. Turned all their tables over and says, get out of here. And it says, the zeal for thy house has consumed me. The Living Bible, or the Good News Bible, puts it the best. It says, the devotion for my Father's house burns in me like a fire. That's exactly what happened, burning him like a fire. And then it's interesting enough, in Luke's account of that story of Jesus cleaning out the temple, when he cleaned out the temple and made it a house of prayer again, it says, then the blind and the lame came to him and they were healed there. You want to get signs and wonders back in the church again consistently? Clear the crap out of the church. The bad attitudes. That mocking spirit. And it's prevalent in charismatic Pentecostals. You know, the greatest knockers of revivals are the ones that have been praying for it for years and have been involved in another revival. And then because it comes in a way that they don't appreciate or a way they didn't think it had come, and it was loud or it was a Toronto style or it was a Pensacola style or Rodney Howard Brown style, they knock it. And the very ones that should get the biggest blessing out of it, because it was their prayers that released it in the place, they're the biggest criticizers of it. How sad is that? It's terrible. And they call it a work of the devil. And I think, you silly people. I said to one man of God once, I said, you're an absolute idiot. And he had a big church. I said, what do you mean? That's not very nice, Steve. I said, you're knocking this revival here. And I know you and other men of God have been praying for it. And just because people are laughing and you're so full of yourself, you know, you won't let it touch you. Because you don't want emotionalism in your church. He said, you're crazy. I don't understand you people. They opted for seeker-friendly churches. I believe in being seeker-friendly. Nothing wrong with that. I also believe in being wild in the Holy Ghost and doing what he wants. Anyway, so he had to battle against his emotions, but Jesus rised above the reproach, because what he did was he put all these people out, and then he went in with a mother and father and a few of the disciples, and he took her by the hand and said, little girl, I say to you, get up. And immediately she stood up and walked around. She was 12 years of age, and at this they were all completely astonished. So that doubting crowd suddenly were amazed this little girl comes walking out. And they probably believed in Jesus again. Jesus never let the crowds deter him. He had the right posture of faith all the time. Well, he is faith itself. How many of you realize Jesus doesn't dwell in eternity? Eternity dwells in Jesus. How many of you realize Jesus doesn't give healing? He is the healer. He's everything. Whatever needs you have tonight, he has got it all there. Just a little glimpse of it, just a little touch of it will set you free and keep you satisfied the rest of your life. I think we'll just be growing in God. And I believe what level of faith we leave planet Earth at is where we start in heaven.
learning all more about faith. See, the Bible says the grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand forever. What does that mean? We'll be learning about this Bible throughout all eternity. Because this book's only for the earth. Tell me where it says that. There is treasures between these verses that we'll be receiving, not extra biblical, but more revelation from these same verses of things we didn't see where God opens up our eyes throughout all eternity. This word will stand forever. I hear men of God say, it's only a manual for this life. Well, it is a manual for this life, but it's the word of God. It says the grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of God will stand forever. There's not a new Bible going to be written. This is everything. Amazing. But anyway, Jesus was mocked. He closed the door. He spoke life into that dead situation. You know, that's what God really wants to do in people's lives here tonight. Speak life into dead situations. Sickness is a dead situation. Arthritis, cancer, tumors, bad headaches, sinus problems. It's no problem to God. I see him do this sort of stuff everywhere. Does everybody I pray for get healed? No, not at all. But a lot more people get healed now than I did a few years ago. Because you get growing in faith. You know, you've got to build people's faith up and say, well, you didn't get healed tonight, but that's okay. Then you can't always say that because a lot of people get healed under my ministry. A few days later, they're driving their car and their deaf ear suddenly pops open. 3 days after they've been prayed for. Or their bad back that was a bad side, suddenly they just get up, no, I don't have that pain anymore. So God heals. And sometimes we look for the immediate results of the miracle, and God does that too. We believe for that as well. But a lot of times you just got to go in faith because your healing just comes. Suddenly you haven't got that pain anymore. Suddenly, you know, you go to the doctors and find out you haven't got diabetes anymore. You know, he's a wonderful God. That guy right at the back who plays the bass, could you come down? Yeah, I can just see the glory of God all over you, man. Just come. If I could have a couple of helpers too, that'd be great. A couple of catches. Last Sunday morning when I was ministering to people here, I said about people with a revival spirit. There's a few people here with a revival spirit. He came out and stood over there, and I was aware of him. And the Lord said, don't pray for him. Pray for him in your first meeting next week, which is tonight. And I said, Lord, why? Didn't tell me why. It's just a matter of obedience. Who knows? Maybe it was just testing his heart. Maybe it was, you know, dealing with stuff in his own heart of coming to responding to a ministry and then just getting overlooked. Whatever, but you're here. Still with a good attitude. You're going to be hit with that revival power right now. Just lift your hands. You're a good man. You play the bass well, but you have got a tremendous call of God on your life, and you are going to be hit with revival and that healing power of God, and the joy of God is going to flow from your spirit to people, and it's going to touch them. And I see things a lot, and I can just see this glory of God all over you. And I don't really feel a great anointing right now. By the time I get my hand on you, it'll hit with power. It's just the way God is. So I just take it from the realm of the Spirit and I put it on you now. Pick him up again. He's right, he got it, but he needs a bit more. That's what moving in the Spirit's all about. You just be normal. I can say Mickey Mouse here and touch him with power here. Yeah, let him go now. If you fall under the power of God, stay there until the presence of God lifts off you. Why? Because you're under God's operating table. Simple. You take yourself out too quick. He puts you on the ground for a reason. Because I certainly won't push you down there. I feel like pushing some people. Because they resist you. They come out like this. I dare you to bless me. I feel like saying, you idiot. What'd you bother coming out the front for? But some people say, you know, I'm very mature. I'm used to the anointing. You won't get me down. I think, go sit down. I don't even want to pray for you, sir. You're so full of stinking pride. You know, you just get used to it when you're ministering to people all the time. And so just be open. If you're not open, just pretend you are. Then I won't get aggravated with you. How's that? It's pretty fair, isn't it? This nice couple here, Mr. Beard and Mrs. Glasses, could you come?
Well, he's got a beard. She's got glasses, so. I don't know who you are, but you look like nice people. Hey? Yeah, I know you are. I know who you are. You're Rich Kalendo, because it's on your card. And you're married to her. Very prophetic, aren't I? The power of God's going to eat you too. The glory of God. You've got such an... Well, you've already got effective ministry now. But it's just going to increase and increase. Whew. This is a strong one. I can feel it strong. That glory, that glory, that glory. Just lift your hands. And as you do, the power of God's just going to fill you. Father, just come upon the both of them right now. Touch him with that air. Oh, gosh, in Jesus' mighty name. Mighty God, mighty God, mighty God. Manso Neveshti Stikabaroti. Shigalamanda, open up a bit more. Oof. In Jesus' awesome name, thank you. Hey, open up a bit more. Yeah, a bit more. Why do you do that? Because I'm pushing with my other hand while you're concentrating. No. I do that because I see the anointing. I see the anointings around people. Just, you know. Sometimes I miss and I hit him with a mic. It all depends on who you've been trained by. My pastor, Clark Taylor, is my spiritual dad. He's a great anointed ministry. He does that, so I guess I don't copy him, but you're brought up under that, so you just do it, and it works. You know, it's an amazing ministry, you know. Here we have giggling Gertie's down here. That's all right. If you want to laugh, laugh your head off. That's fine. Mrs. Greenshirt, could you come here, please? Oof. Perhaps the helpers just, whoops, I nearly fell down. Just lift your hands. You see, in doing this, sometimes I move in very specific words of knowledge on people's healings. And there's other times like this where you just see, Hattie, what do you mean you see the anointing? I see it like a heat wave on people. It just comes out of them. It's like this red glow. That's the way it comes to me. And with that, God can do 101 different things in these people when they come out. For all I know, he could be healing them. He could be putting things in ministry into them. All I know is that he imparts to people. And he uses our hands and our faith to do it. And I asked, the Lord told me years ago, keep it all casual. Keep it loose. So, because if you get tight, the people will get tight. You won't be able to minister to them. What a marvelous God. He's all over you. All over you. Take it. Oof. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Use what he's given you. Use what he's given you. Use what he's given you. There it is. There it is. He's a mighty, mighty God. Mr. Irish, come here. Hey, to be sure. I'm going to release the power of God on you. I socked you in the gut. That's nice.
I didn't want to down to my knees because my back doesn't
bend. Oh.
Is that funny?
All right.
I don't know what I'll do.
God's going to touch you with power. That's all I know. He's got a lot for you to do yet, sir. Don't plan to cark it just yet. He's got a lot for you to do. Serve him with fullness and might. He's going to use you in power. He's going to use you to release a lot of blessing on people. They're going to feel happy when they're around you. You're going to feel, oh, the power of God's on him. You know how to receive. There it is. It's filling you up. And completely heal that spine, Lord Jesus Christ. Do that work in him. I see that glory all over you, sir. I see it just about here. I just put it on you now. There it goes. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. He looks pretty happy. What a marvelous God. Here he is, half Keith Green now. He shaved his beard off. He looked just like Keith Green last week. So what are you going to do next? I don't know. poke around. Mrs. Blue and Miss Red, could you come? Yeah. I don't know your name, so just Miss Blue, Miss Red, that'll do. Now, really, expect you're receiving something from God. Whatever your thing is, just take it. Take it all. Here they are. You two are nice ladies. Just lift your hands. I thank you for these wonderful people, Lord. I thank you, Lord Jesus Christ. I thank you, I thank you, I thank you. What a wonderful Jesus. Encounters with God. You're both going to be used so powerfully by God in the music field, but way beyond that. Jesus. Mansolevestika. Ooh. Sorry, just let it go right through you. That's the way. Some of these young people have got tremendous anointings on them. Do you feel the anointing in the building, or is it just up here? It's pretty strong. Pretty strong around here. What a marvelous God. Just lift your hands and say, Jesus, touch me. Touch me right now. So with your hands lifted up now, I want to pray for all of you where you feel a real heat, feels like a real heat or an oily feeling on your hands. They're just signs that God's giving to let you know something. So those people who you don't have to make it up, you're feeling a heat or your hands feel oily. Would you just come out here quickly? Come on, there's quite a few of you. Some of you are a little bit bashful. You feel that heat on your hands. If you don't, it's all right. It doesn't mean you're missing anything. It just means it's just not for you, just right now. I need a few helpers out here. I'm used to working very quickly, but I'm slowing it down a bit because there's not enough. Like last Sunday morning, there's people falling on top of each other. We'll try and avoid that tonight. Oh, my Jesus. Just come a little bit closer to me up here. Thanks. Now, whenever that oily feeling of that heat comes on your hands, that means God is wanting you to heal people. That's why he does it. It doesn't mean you'll always get that feeling, but he's giving you that feeling tonight to let you see. He's put something inside of you that you can heal people. Does that mean everyone you pray for and will be healed? No, but you've got to believe for that. But a lot will. Who knows? Everyone might. But you can't be worried about the ones that don't. You've got to thank God for the ones that do. But you've got to make up your mind tonight, all right, Lord, you're not just putting this on my hands for nothing. You're wanting me to help people. You're wanting me to touch people with this fire, with this power. And for a while, you'll find it'll come on your hands. And when it does, you've got to say, Lord, who you want me to pray for? It could be somebody at work. It could be somebody down the street. And all you simply say, can I just pray for you? And let the results be left with God. Now, God's going to impart it fully into you right now. So where are my helpers? So I know. Yeah, we've got a whole lot of helpers here. Oof, there it goes. That's why I need helpers, because sometimes in my ministry, they just fall down without being touched. Oof. Just receive it now. There it goes. It's all over you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Oof. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. I impart it into your spirit now. In Jesus. Oh, there it goes. There it goes. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I impart that into you now. Thank you for this, dear brother. I impart it into you right now. You will see people healed. You will see people healed. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank you, Jesus. That's it. Just a little bit worried about falling down. It's okay. I just want to, I don't care whether you stand, as long as you receive. How do I open up? Just see yourself as a little flower that's opening, 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 opening. In Jesus' name. Oof. That's it. It's going into you now.
Thank you, Jesus.
That's right. You've got it there. Thank you for my dear wife. Just touch you with it, Lord Jesus Christ. That awesome power of God. In Jesus' mighty name. Thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Fill him with the oil of joy. Thank you, Jesus. Yep, she's got it. Thank you, Jesus. What a marvelous Jesus. Keep filling him, Lord. Keep filling him. He's a good God. It's easy to laugh. It's ho, 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 ha, 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 he, he. If you're going to laugh, laugh for goodness sake. Not this little fiddly stuff. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, let it out. On the floor. What a marvelous God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Mrs. Red Jacket, could you come? Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Fill her, fill her, fill her. Absolutely. It's overflowing. Bless you. Just lift your hands as you do. The paragon will just fill you. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, he's going to show you his glory. He's going to show you his glory. You're starting to feel it right now. Thank you. It's very, very heavy down here. I was once in a church, and I was just standing on the platform, and it's a church I'd just started. There's only about 50 people there. I'd only been going for a couple of weeks. And I saw the glory of God come in the meeting, and I saw it just rest about 2 feet above their heads, the whole glory cloud. And I was telling them what I was seeing, and you could see people were thinking, oh, yeah, anybody could say that. And I could feel what they were thinking. So I said, all right, if you don't believe me, on the count of three, I want everybody to stand up. And you will just stand up into it. And then we'll see who's got the last laugh. And they all stood up, and then all you heard was crash, bang. No, through the seats, bang. And people were shaking violently, hanging on to seats. You know, as the power of God hit them, because they all stood up into the glory. And they felt it. Then they didn't see it. I saw it, but they felt it. And that was the end of the meeting. 3 hours later, they're still under the power of God. And they were under a heavy weight where four men couldn't even pick anybody up. They were just so out to it. I've been in many meetings where people just go to make a point and they just stuck there for hours. Stuck. It's amazing. Just get stuck. And you know, it's happened in a lot of revivals and things, and so, you know, and so we just got to believe for these things. And the more we open up, the big deal is Jesus, friends. The big deal is leaving, exalting him and honoring him. He's the big deal. And if it doesn't result in people getting saved and people's lives growing in Christ, then forget it all. But the reason why God uses all this sort of stuff is to loosen us up. You know, God always did. I mean, why did Jesus spit in people? One time it says that he put his fingers in man's deaf ears and spat on his tongue. Now, how do you... He didn't just put a little spit on his other... He had his fingers in this man's Jewish waxy ears. So he's got both his fingers in the man's ears and he spits. How do you do it? Oops, sorry. But you know, the man's tongue was open and his ears popped open. Why did Jesus do things like that? Just to get people out of the flesh, friends. into God. Why does people sometimes in meetings, it happens a lot when I start churches, people just jump up and start running around the church, shoom, shoom, doing laps, and before long the whole church is just running around and around and around. And I'm sure it's not their exercise routine. I think it was just God. You know, the Bible talks about running with a fire, so it wouldn't surprise me if he gets people to run as a prophetic declaration of the fire of God. He can do what he likes. He's God, isn't he? He really is. What a marvelous God. You two lovely ladies, could you come? Show me your face. This will do just here. Show me your face. Don't worry, you'll have helpers there. And don't worry about standing or falling. Just lift your hands. Thank you for these lovely ladies. I thank you, Holy Spirit. You're able to do 101 different things, more than my pea brain could ever do. All I know is it's a strong anointing here, Lord, and you're touching these ladies with it now. Thank you, Lord Jesus Christ. Building. Building, building, building. That fire of God going through your body. I remember years ago when the Holy Ghost first started teaching, because in Australia in the 70s, late 70s, they're all teachers and good Bible teachers, but there's nobody moved in the Spirit of God that I knew. And so he took me out of my body and took me into the realm of the Spirit and gave me, saw all these different anointings and gave me an understanding of how they all work, and which I teach on it now in seminars when I feel the Lord leads me to do that. And it helps a lot of people to get released in things of the Spirit, because you know, I say it a lot, this realm is more real to me than sitting and talking to you. The realm of the Spirit is more real to me than it is sitting and talking to you. It's because I've done that much fasting and prayer into that realm. But that's the realm we should all be living in. It should be normal just to be living normally and then just healing somebody and releasing the power of God. You don't have to be a super spook, friends, you know. You don't have to come up and say, oh, my Father, my great God, you know, I beseech thee, and all this sort of nonsense, you know. And God just wants real people to be touched with real power. Because, you know, we all get this impression we're just these worms, you know. I'm just a little worm, God, you know. And it'd be amazing. And a lot of hymns we sing, in, some are great, some need to be thrown out, because they imply that. This great big God, and we're these little flea, good for nothings on earth. You know, and you see choirs, they'll get up and sing songs like, I come before thy throne of grace. I throw myself upon my face. I know that I am but a worm. So step on me, God, and watch me squirm. You know? We go, oh, hallelujah, that's wonderful. That's shocking. It's terrible. We're not. We're new creations in Jesus Christ with the power of God living on the inside of us. If we knew what was on the inside of us, and if we really, I'm talking about me too, if we had a revelation of the power and the anointing that's inside of us, we would have shaken hell by now and populated heaven. We would have been out of here, because there'd be nobody left to be saved. We're the most creative people. God has put it upon us. You know, the power of God that it can fill every nook and cranny of the whole universe, the Bible says the fullness of that lives inside you and me. And if that lives in us, then we must be not accessing it. We're obviously not devoting ourselves fully to that realm. Because the norm should be people getting saved and healed and miraculous power and people coming to Christ and whole communities being changed for God. That should be the norm. And that's what revival does. It begins to open us up again. That's the importance of these type of meetings, you know. If you're able to come back tomorrow night, come back and get on the blower or get on the phone to a few of your friends, say, get over there. You need to get over there, hear this mad Australian, you know, because the power of God will be here, friends. It'll work. It'll work. Now, we're not quite finished yet. I don't usually have long meetings, by the way, you'd be pleased to know. My pastor
He's a great man of God. He taught me to press in for a fast anointing. I said, what do you mean by fast? He said, well, a lot of revivalists, Steve, they spend an hour on the offering teaching, then an hour preaching, and then an hour waffling around on something else, and then they might minister in the last hour of the meeting. And by that time, it's 11 o'clock, and a lot of people have gone, and they're called religious devils. And they're not. They're just people who need to get up and go to work. The evangelist can sleep until midday the next day, but everybody else has got to get up at 6 in the morning to go to work. So he says, you've got to respect that in people, and don't quench the Holy Spirit, but you've got to respect that. So I don't know if it's theological to say it's a fast anointing. But a lot of pastors, when I go to the church for revival, say, oh, we like you, Steve. We're out of here by 10 o'clock at the latest. It's wonderful. And that's not knocking anybody else. Roy's like the mercies of the Lord. He goes on forever, you know. And so does Rodney Ann Brown. And they're incredible ministries, as you know. You sat under Roy last week. You fully appreciate him. But, you know, that's him. And God will bless him for doing that. But if I tried it, you'd all be walking out by now. Because I just haven't got that anointing for that. Too many good movies start at 10 o'clock. I can't, you know. No, I'm kidding. Come here. I need a helper to watch me all the time and to be with me. Thanks, because Mr. Spontaneous. God's just going to touch you, dear lady. He's going to touch you. And I don't know what's going on in your body, but he's going to heal you too. But he's just going to heal your body. Just lift your hands, and as you do, you'll feel the power of God start to go into you. Oh, there it goes. That's it. Yeah, she felt that. Well, see, doing this and all this sort of stuff, it means nothing. But when you do it with faith, and if I'm following something in the Spirit, then it works. And so don't think that by doing all that, it's going to work for you. Probably your people will be sitting in here, an idiot. You know, God's a good God. How you going there, Mrs. Greeny? Can I pray for you?
Absolutely.
Thank you. You're a nice lady. Go, gentle spirit, just lift your hands. Don't be nervous. Just lift your hands and receive the power of God. What's he going to do in you? I will never clue, but all I know is it'll be good. Ooh. Remember, it's important. Stay under the power of God until his presence lifts off you. That's how you know to get up. Might be 2 minutes, could be 2 hours for some of you. I don't know. He's a wonderful Jesus. Absolutely mighty. You, sir, you're the pastor, aren't you?
Yes, sir.
That's right. Just stand there. God's going to bless you. Well, you're already blessed. Sorry, man. You're already blessed, man, but you've already got an impact in your ministry, but it's going to increase. God wants to bring revival into your church. He wants to bring revival to you. And if you'll just say to God, which I know you would do, say, whatever you want to do in my life and church, it's yours, God. Right. He's going to honor that. You know, you're already a man who totally loves God. You'd already do anything he wants you to do. But it's going to start to happen. Things are going to start to change. You think, oh my goodness, this is different. And the glory of God's going to be there because you're a good man with a good heart. And I impart that anointing into your spirit now in Jesus' mighty name. Thank you, Lord. Yeah, give Jesus a hand. Thank you, Lord. Waiting on him. Such an anointing. You two ladies at the front here, could you come? I should know your names by now, but I don't. And don't worry, I'll probably always call you by the wrong name. I had a head deacon who served the church and me faithfully for 3 years. And from the platform, I always said, Arnold does a wonderful job, but his name was Albert. When I saw him at home, he's always Albert, but for some reason, I had this fixation at church, he was Arnold. And so he didn't mind. So you're now Gertie, and you're now... No, I'm kidding. Just lift your hands.
You both got a tremendous call of God in your lives, you know. A tremendous call of God in your life. I mean, I'm talking about nation transforming type of anointings on your lives. How could that happen to me? Well, that's what God's all about. He's the element of surprise. He can take you far beyond your dreams and desires. He's able to do exceedingly abundantly above what you could ask or ever think. And there's that glory of God just coming over you now. And that glory is mixed with that fire of God. You see, it's all the same presence of God, but it's different manifestations. And God. You know, that's the key in ministering to people. You've got to wait till it builds up. And once it builds up, and if you're talking, just stop talking and just minister, bang. What do you mean? I just feel this. It's like this volcanic explosion. It's like someone lights a match in my gut. And I feel this fire. And if I don't minister at that point, then they'll miss it. They just get a little trickle instead of the full blast. And I honestly believe when that scripture talks about we've got to be workmen and knowing how to study the word and all that sort of thing, I believe it's talking about being workmen in the spirit, knowing how to read the Bible and interpret it to help people in their lives. It's not talking about just being a theological fathead where you need low-calorie shampoo to get rid of your swollen head, you know. There's too many of them in the body of Christ. First thing I do when I plant a church, I always start a Bible school. And immediately, I usually 25, 30 full-time students and another 20 or so part-time. And we teach them all these things. We teach them the Bible, but we teach them how to be men and women of the Spirit. Then we say, if you're going to be a church planter, pick a location, let's go. Let's just do it. We'll help you, but get out there and do it. And that's the way it's got to be. If you're a revivalist, go and bring revival. You know, bring it in your own home first. Bring it around your environment. And it'll work. Come here, John. You're a good man. You got such a heart for God. I know we're staying with you, and thank you so much. Everything's going to work for you. Your wife's going to come through. She's almost there. Don't worry about it. That's the least of your problems, actually. She's going to come right through, and she's going to be this wild woman of God. I'll tell you, she will have such a heart for those people in that sort of scene that she's been from. And you're going to be as happy as a pig in mud, you know. That's a good old Australian saying. You are, in fact, I can just see you rolling around in mud, so happy. This is great. Not literal mud, but just, you're just going to be so happy. You're going to feel like this big weight's lifted off your life. And God's going to bless you, and you're going to be serving God with your wife, and God's going to bless you for your faithfulness and hanging in there. And it's all going to happen pretty rapidly, actually. You're not going to be waiting years. You're within months. Months, just a couple of months of it happening, actually. Oh, Jesus' mighty name. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. He's a good God. Mr. Cap, could you come out here? Yeah. And is that your wife next to you? You come out, Mrs. Cap. He's wearing a football cap. Oh, he's wearing a cap, so he's Mr. Cap. What is your name anyway?
Sal.
Sal, okay. Sal and?
Christine.
Christine, nice to meet you. You look like nice people.
Most of the time.
Yeah, most of the time. Well, forget about everybody else. And forget about me and just lift your hands to Jesus. He just wants to give you a good blast of the Holy Ghost. He just wants to refresh you. He just wants to build into you that you've got such a great purpose ahead of you. Normally at your age, you think, oh, well, we're slowing down now. No, not for you guys. It's going to speed up in the Spirit. You've got so much work to do for God. Oh, he's gone. You've got so much work to do for God. So much work to do for God. You. In Jesus' mighty name. So you push the both of them down. Yeah, we could see that. Well, don't kill her, Lord. Best thing to do if you're feeling to laugh, just let it out. It should split your gut open. God bless this wonderful lady. Let the power of God just touch her. There it is. Oop. Here it comes. Lord, let that spirit of joy in heaven just fall around here. Get them all as drunk as skunks, Lord Jesus Christ. Get them all drunk. Let these people be drunk. Drunk in the Holy Ghost. Come on. Joel's bar is open. It's right here. You know Joel's bar? Come and take a drink. There it goes. All it takes is for a few to respond to God, then everybody else gets going. Cackling. This lady deaf, is she? Okay. Both ears are just... Come on, stretch your hands towards this lady. Let's believe God opened these ears. Father, thank you for this wonderful lady coming to church tonight. I'm asking you to heal and open up these ears in Jesus' name. I command these ears to open up. If there's anything not in there and anything out of place, we'll just do a creative miracle, God. But I command, you're getting filled with the Holy Ghost while you're at it. Jesus, I thank you for it. Just heal these ears. Open them up, open them up, open them up. I rebuke them and I command them to open. Open, 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 open. In Jesus' mighty name. Tell her with the healing power of God. It says, lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. And tell her I've seen many deaf people healed a few days after the meetings. Because it's about Jesus. She doesn't want to get healed?
She wants to be some healing. She wants to be part of the deaf community. So she wants to be...
You know... That's interesting. This lady doesn't know she wants to be healed from a deafness. I'm not embarrassing her. I'm just telling you this is real to her because she's obviously been brought up in a deaf community. So the thought of hearing frightens people. I was in this church once and this Lord showed me this deaf person in the meeting and I didn't realize the person sitting next to her was a personal nurse. And I knew that if I laid hands, she would have been completely healed. And as I told her interpreter, saying she's going to be healed right now, the look of horror came on her face, and she's going, no, she's waving all her hands. And then she doesn't want to be healed. You don't understand. She's in a community of the deaf people. She doesn't want to be healed. And that absolutely fascinated me. But I thought, oh, well, she just wanted the touch of God. She got filled with the joy of God, but she didn't want to be healed. And so you got to respect where people are at. This dear lady, she's freaking out, saying, no, I don't want to get healed. I don't want to get healed. But God just tell her, God just wants to bless her. She only wants to hear a little bit because she doesn't want to depart from the... Now, to us, that sounds so crazy. But to her, it's real. And you got to honor where people are at. I mean, I could stand up here and tell her off and say, that's wrong. But maybe it isn't wrong. Who knows? All I know is, according to people's faith, so be it unto them. So we just ask God to bless you. Can I do that? Yeah. Yes. She's saying, not ears. All right, just stretch your hands towards her. Father, just bless her. Fill her with the Holy Ghost. I thank you for her honesty, and we honor that, Lord. Thank you that she came tonight, and just bless her. Bless her and fill her with the Holy Ghost. Fill her with the Holy Ghost. In Jesus' name. Tell us some of the greatest missionaries in the world were deaf. Smith Wigglesworth's daughter, a great healing evangelist's daughter. She was born deaf and died deaf. Yet her and her husband were great missionaries in Africa. And Wigglesworth saw thousands of ears just pop open. But couldn't get his own daughter's ears open. But she was a powerful missionary. So it doesn't matter really. Yeah. Where is this? This guy here. Come. That's right. You're another young man with a touch of God in your life, man. You love him, don't you? I can see it. You're gonna be a preacher of the gospel, man. Preacher of the gospel. Those hands are going to have the fire of God come through them. Just open up your spirit totally to God right now. Just open right up. The power of God just going through that body of yours in Jesus' awesome name. These people are really getting it tonight. Touch him, Jesus. Did God tell you to lay your foot on him? No, I can't be bothered bending over. Yeah, try with a big belly bending over every 5 minutes. Huh? People say, you get people healed and yet you wear glasses. Why do you wear glasses? Because I need to. Simple. Because I'm not the healer. Jesus is. You know, Stephen and George Jeffries were two great healing evangelists in England. And they died of rheumatoid arthritis. They were crippled like this. Yeah, they used to walk up and down the aisles and say, the master is here. Crippled. And people with no arms, as they would walk by them, would just suddenly screech out in pain as their arms would grow and their legs would grow. And internal organs would just reappear on the inside, confirmed by specialists. Yeah, they themselves were full of rheumatoid arthritis. Now, we've got to believe God for healing, but we've got to remember, we're not the healer. He just flows through us. That's all he does. He's the one, isn't he, man?
That's right.
Yeah. We forget that sometimes. Keep going on, Lord, in Jesus' name. Yeah. Wow, what an awesome God. Everybody okay in here? Just hang in there, just a few more minutes. Which is nothing what you guys have been with for the last 2 weeks. Piece of cake, yeah. I'm thinking, golly, can't finish too early. Mrs. Blue Cardigan, can I pray for you? Just, that's right, just there. Just lift your hands, and as you do, the power of God will just flow over you. Thank you for Lord Jesus Christ. Dream of a heart. You've had a dream about something that would happen, and you haven't seen it happen yet, and it's going to happen. Dream, desire, and it hasn't, you haven't seen it yet, it's going to happen. Just keep trusting God with that. Marvelous God. Who here would like a touch from God? Just stand up. All those are just, you've come tonight, you just want a touch from God. Well, all right. Running out of room here. But I'll tell you what, I'll just come and pray for you in your seats. Just make sure you've got nothing behind you in your seat, so if you fall down, you just go straight on your seat. Just all lift your hands and just say, Jesus, touch me. Father, touch them all. Touch them all right now, Lord Jesus Christ. The fact that they're standing in front of their seats doesn't mean anything. You can touch them all, Lord, right now. And I'm asking you to touch them with the power of God. Fill them, Lord Jesus, just like you're touching those at the front now. Let that fire come into this lovely lady right now in Jesus' name. Fire! Fire of God. Let the fire of God come to this man now. Yes, touch him.
Yes, thank you, Lord.
Oops, there he goes. Thank you for this lovely lady. There goes the power of God. Let the power of God going into your body in Jesus' name. Thank you for these lovely ladies. Sorry, touch them with the power of God. Let your fire go right into their bodies now in Jesus' mighty name. Touch them. Touch them. You feel stuck. Well, Lord, keep us stuck. In Jesus' name, fire! Whoa, he really got it. Thank you for these wonderful people. Let the fire of God touch them now. Ooh, there it is. You guys have got it easy, you're just falling in your seats. Fire. Touch it, Jesus, and touch this wonderful man too. Touch them, Lord. Touch their beautiful child. Touch them. Touch them. Touch them. Let the fire of God go into these ladies. Into this family. Let there be healing for the glory of God. Jesus. Thank you for them. Thank you for them. Thank you for them. Thank you for this lovely lady. Touch her with the absolute fire of God right now. Let it just flow through her. Oof. There it goes. Oof. Now, the Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost. Touch him. Now, the fire of God. Thank you for him. Thank you for him. Thank you for him. There it goes. Ooh, thank you for him. Thank you. Thank you for him, Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for him. Thank you, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for this wonderful man. Let the fire of God go through him. Bless him and touch him. Thank you for him. Thank you for him. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for him. Moses stood on a mountain. La 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 la. Yee dee 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 dee. La 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 la. You two standing, you want?
Yeah, I want.
Thank you for this wonderful couple. Thank you for them so much, Lord Jesus. What a great anointing on the both of them, Lord. You worship and ministering to people and revivalists. I thank you for it, Lord. Now fill them with the power of God. Give them a double dose of the Holy Ghost right now. Double dose of the Holy Ghost right now. Fill them. Thank you for this lovely lady as the power of God is just hitting her. In Jesus' name. Thank you for this lovely gentleman with his beautiful boys here. Touch him. Touch him. Fire! Mother, beautiful kids. Touch them with power. Touch them. Touch this man with the fire of God. Let it come upon him now. Right now, for the glory of God. Right now, that fire. Touch them, touch them, touch them. As it goes through their body, right now. Thank you, Father. That's it, you've got it. In Jesus' mighty name. In the name of Jesus, the fire of God, the fire of God, the fire of Almighty God, in Jesus' name. That wonderful fire, that wonderful fire, that marvelous fire, fire of God touching these wonderful lives in Jesus' name. Right now, right now, right now, right now, oof. Right now. Marvelous, touch of God, touch this dear one. You're already touching it. Let that glory just touch you from head to toe right now for the glory of God. Ooh, there it is, that anointing. Thank you for this dear one. Fill it with the Holy Ghost. Absolutely with the Holy Ghost. Absolutely with the fire of God. Jesus. Jesus. Mighty Jesus. The touch of God. The touch of Almighty God. Let it go through you. Just let it go through you. Right through you. Right through you. Right through you. Thank you. Thank you. That's it. That's it. Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God, that power. That power going through these bodies now. Right now. Oof. Jesus. Thank you, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, 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 thank you. Thank you, Jesus. I'm breaking out over there now. That's good. Jesus, Jesus. That's the fascinating thing about the Holy Ghost, isn't it? Jesus. Oof. Jesus. La 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 la. Let a fire of God get a drunk. Drunk, 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 drunk. Drunk, 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 drunk. Drunk, 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 drunk. Drinking, 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 drinking. Strike, I'm getting it too. Jesus, thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. That's right. Just keep letting it out. Just keep letting it loose. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Filled with the Holy Ghost. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Man sukura bandola vististi gara bondra bolo visti ki anda. Jesus. Siga baba ramastus tis tigira bevre bisti kira bandra busto. Mishi gara manso de vindre bisti tis tigira gara babra babustis tigira banatra bis. Suga ra bandros tis tis tigira gira bisti tis tigira bando. Siga ra manso de vindre bisti tis tigira. Sigara bam branda la vesti si sigara kara ba pra pa ba. Siga ba ba la ba si 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 gidi gidi bi bi si si gidi bi de bi. You're out to it. That's good. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Give him more. A merry heart does good like a medicine. Did you know they meet all over America in laughing clinics? And they just force themselves to laugh at lunchtime. They do it in Australia and America. Just secular people, unchurched people. Because the psychiatrists have told them that a merry heart, a happy heart, does good like a medicine, actually releases endorphins to heal your system. And so you've got, they should just come to church, come to meetings like this and get filled. See, even the world knows that laughter is a good medicine. Yet so many folk react to this. What's all this laughter about? You know, I reckon Jesus did this all the time. I don't reckon he walked around with a stern face. I reckon he was laughing and ministering to people. And he was serious when he needed to be serious. That's what I believe. No doubt about it. Just relaxing, God, for a few minutes. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus.
That's a real belly laugh. That one. Thank you, Jesus. Fill Tony, Lord Jesus, with the joy of God right now. Get him drunk, Lord. Get him absolutely drunk. Absolutely drunk in the power of God. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Mandaga la monsa, out of your belly you'll flow rivers of living water. There should be lots of living water in there. In Jesus' name. Bad as mine. Jesus' name. Mansukala babrotini vestis to gabaro together been there. There he goes. Shika babrotini vestis to get a mansukala mandai. Don't kill him, Lord. What an awesome God. What an awesome God. Downstairs, in the downstairs area, I do have a table with all my, I put out four CDs on worship, which is fairly similar to how I was leading tonight with a band. And so you get in there and have a look down there. And most of the CDs are about $12 each. I do have a four pack with the four CDs in them for $40. And so if you want to look at them and want to purchase them, you're more than welcome. That'd be great. And but just let God, just let him move just for a few more minutes, folks. Just let him do it. If you can, please come back tomorrow. This hasn't just started. This is a continuation of what you've been having for the last 2 weeks. And I think there's just been a little dip in the numbers only because I'm unknown. That's all it is. And so don't worry about the person. Let the Holy Ghost just move. And more people will be touched because we really want to see revival come to this whole area. So another 50-odd people would have this place probably full. So, you know, let's go for it. That'd be marvelous. What a marvelous God. What an incredible God. Mighty Jesus, mighty Jesus. Your name in all the earth.
Give the Lord a hand of praise. What a marvelous Jesus. What a marvelous, marvelous, marvelous Jesus. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, we thank you, we thank you. What an awesome God. Why don't you just turn to the person next to you and just pray a blessing over them. I mean, you're all full of the Holy Ghost, friends. Just pray the Holy Ghost on it. They'll get the best. Sleep. Let this place be filled tomorrow night, Lord. We want to continue this revival atmosphere. We thank you for what you've done the last couple of weeks. Let it continue, God. We thank you. We thank you. We thank you. God bless you all. See you tomorrow night.